Only.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Lift off. We have a lift off.
Up. Only.
Hello and welcome to Up Only TV. I'm Ledger. We've got Team Executive on the show today. We're excited to talk to him. We'll introduce him here in just a second. Before we get to it, let us tell you about Blockfolio. Go to uponly.tv/blockfolio. Of course, you can trade on Blockfolio. It's a great experience for that, swapping directly from one asset to the other. The latest hotness from Blockfolio is that you can earn 8% interest on the first $10,000, 5% interest after that on your deposits on stablecoins, Bitcoin, whatever you want to put on there. They got all kinds of good stuff, plus the portfolio tracking you've known and loved for a long time. Thanks to Blockfolio for being our partners. uponly.tv/blockfolio. Go visit it right now. Check it out. Let's get to the show. Kobe, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I feel like we're in the presence of greatness. Our last guest was bearish at the absolute bottom, but this time we've got a professional. We've got a professional on the show. I'm ready to learn. Teen Executive, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Really excited to be on the podcast.
Do I have to continually call you Teen Executive, or do you have a real name?
No, you can call me Adam.
All right, Adam, okay. That's better, because if I had to keep saying Teen Executive over and over, I don't know if I was going to make it through the whole show. Adam, welcome to the show. We're live on Twitch, chat saying hello, everyone saying let's go, Adam. Welcome. So, we need to know, man, you're like, you've been like buying the bottom and selling the top. How have you been doing it? Like, I'm firstly surprised you're a real person. I had, you know, like thought maybe it was an AI and maybe it was like, you know, but you're a real person.
Yep,
now,
in the flesh.
And you're making these calls yourself. You're just like legit.
Yeah.
Right, we need to know how. How did you get into all this stuff?
So I haven't been listening to any outside noise. I don't listen to, I mean, I listen to it, but I don't incorporate it into my trading. I just listen to it. But what I do is I just, I basically just hold. And then if I, I just hold. And then sometimes if I see something that's really clear cut, I'll make a decision. But I always go back to holding because I believe in Bitcoin long term. But if I see something that I think is really clear cut, then I'll make a decision of whether to sell temporarily or buy back then. But I'm always going to stay in Bitcoin.
And you sold ETH at like 3.9 or something, right? 3.9, 3.6. Like basically the absolute top.
Yeah.
What was the signal? What was the thing that you saw where you were like, this is going to get murdered. This is going down. I'm getting out of here now. I'm taking my profits.
I think it went up like 20% in one day or maybe like 18% in one day. And I was like, no, it's got to go back down. And it did go back. It did go up. I sold it like 3,800 and it went up to 4,300 or something. And people were roasting me saying, oh, you, how does it feel? You missed out on all your profits. I'm like, I'm just chilling. You guys can wait and it's going to come crashing down. And
do you go back to the people that roasted you and go like, lol? Cause that's what I do. I'm very petty.
They've been very quiet since they crashed.
They all got liquidated, man.
Yeah,
Ledger, what were you doing at 3,800? Were you margin longing?
I was probably just counting the days until 10K, you know? I was just waiting on the
floor. Me too, mate. Me too. I was going on podcast shouting about the flipping niggas any day now. All right, so we got a professional in our midst. Like, I'd love to know how you got into this. How you got into this generally? Like, how did you end up investing? How did you end up being celebrity TikTok investor, teen executive?
So for stocks, my grandpa really inspired me to get started. He helped convince my parents when I was eight years old.
Is he called Warren?
No, definitely not. He's just an average retail investor, but he did help convince my parents to open up a brokerage account for me when I was eight. And then, so I just started investing. And a few years
you
ago.
You started at age eight?
Yeah.
Wow.
What did you buy?
Amazon, Google, and Liberty Global.
Liberty
That's the
Global.
Three stocks that I bought.
Do you still hold them?
not Liberty Global, but but Amazon I do.
Oh my god. So you just like chatbot, I don't know how old you are. Like you said you were 8. You might be 10 now. So you're 14. Okay, so you just chatbot Amazon like 6 years ago. Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good education, a good beginning. And have you outperformed your grandfather?
Definitely.
I think like 2 years ago he got margin called and lost a ton of money.
Oh, no. Is this breaking?
So I think so. Yeah.
Don't let him listen to this. Don't let him listen.
Yeah. I don't think I'm supposed to be saying that.
So you're gonna have to bail him out. He's gonna have to come to the bank of Teen Executive and ask for a loan. Remember how I got you that brokerage account when you were 8? Well, that was actually kind of illegal. It's in my name. So Amazon stocks are mine now.
Yeah. Oh man.
All right. So you got into this when you were 8. Your first buys were godlike. You got some big tech stocks 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was it. You were hooked.
Yeah, after that, I was just checking my portfolio every day. I put all my savings into there. And just because the thing is, when I was younger, my parents wouldn't let me spend my savings. I think that's how it is with a lot of kids. But they would let me invest it. So if I couldn't do anything with it, they're like, in 10 years, you can buy a car with your $400. Like, no, let me just invest it and it will grow. And so, yeah, I just invested everything I had.
Amazing.
So your parents have been very supportive, and they think
extremely.
You know, and are you outperforming your parents? Like, do they follow your calls now?
Well, my dad's in real estate, and my mom has I don't even know what it is. I think she has something even less volatile than the SPY index funds.
Yeah,
I think it goes up like less than inflation. Like, I think it's gone up 3% in the last decade.
All right, so you're just
grandpa trolling his mom.
Yeah, you're just styling on your family. That's like that's pretty deep. And
yeah.
And it was like you're saving up to buy a car, but didn't you just like buy a house?
Not yet, but I'm planning it.
All right.
Yeah,
are you there? Are you ready? You got the funds available?
Almost. Wow. But I'm trying
buying a house at 14 is like pretty badass.
Yeah. Thank you. That's
pretty cool. I'm trying to buy a house right now.
I'm trying to wait for like more of a dip. I have time. I'm 14, so I could wait a few years and then I could just keep on building funds. So maybe I can get a more expensive house at a better value if it dips in a few years. Because
look, I saw your video. I saw your video about how to be a millionaire with the soaps. Yeah. Just stay at home for as long as you can. Just stay at home. Like, your parents will buy you shit. That's like the soaps all over again. You'll be a millionaire twice as fast.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but the house would be for investment purposes. I would never live in that.
Wait, are you joking? You're not joking. Wait,
you thought I was going to
buy an investment property.
Not moving to Arizona.
Teen executive landlord.
He's like,
I'm at Yavi's landlord.
Oh my god, imagine doing your viewing. It's like, so yeah, this is my place. This dude,
all the tenants are going to be so sad.
You need to make videos of everything that you're doing, like the whole process, and then you'll be the TikTok king of real estate.
Yep, Grant Cardone 2.0.
I'm betting.
Oh, he's just a real estate mogul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, Ledger.
I don't know anything. Obviously.
Read up, mate.
Been out traded, out invested. He started earlier. He's better looking. I'm just wrecked on all fronts against Team.
Well, I do have the Robinhood account of shame. About 2 years ago, I started trying options and I lost like $3,000 in a span of 24 hours.
Dude, that's great.
And I just have the empty Robinhood account.
You learned your lesson early. So, you know, everybody's got to get liquidated once in life. You might as well do it when you're 12.
That's true.
Does Robinhood offer option trading to 14-year-olds?
Apparently, they do.
Well, not really.
Look, we'll scrub that part. No, chat, no one saw anything. It's a secret. It's between all of us. He wasn't even 14. It was 2 years ago. It was 12.
His Robin Hood account's empty now. He's not trading on those pleb accounts. He's trading on the series.
Yeah, now I have a custodial account, so it's completely legal.
There you go.
I didn't know about the laws back then. But yeah. I didn't make any money off the Robin Hood account anyway, so it's not like I have to pay taxes.
No, now what you can do is you can just sue them for enabling you to lose $3,000.
Exactly. Sue them for allowing a 12-year-old to trade options.
Yeah, this is genius. We know some lawyers. We can hook you up and get like a $300,000 settlement or something.
If this episode of Upending TV is ever in like some legal proceedings against Robin Hood, I just want to say like I had nothing to do with it. I don't have a Robin Hood account. I'm like, I'm out. It's not my fault.
I don't
fault.
Have a Robin Hood account either, but I definitely had something to do with it. I think you should sue him. I want 10%.
So you started out in stocks, you did a bit of options trading, you got wrecked, now you got a custodial account, you're making your moves, you're making your investments. How did you transition into crypto?
Let's see, what did I do? I think it started out, I was doing a TikTok promotion. Someone wanted to pay me in Binance, and then I was like, okay, let me look into it, and then I started a trust wallet, which I don't think you need to be, it doesn't require any information. So I started a trust wallet. Then I got paid in that. And then I learned about how to tried to convert it into USD, but then I accidentally converted into Tether. And then I was like, how come I can't withdraw it into my bank account? And then I did a bunch of research. I was just
Bitfinex is like, well, let me tell you why you can't withdraw it to your bank account.
Exactly. So I was just struggling for that. And then the way I got more into it is Hogecoin. I wanted to, this was the, you know, it was like the first version of all these shit coins. And I was like, okay, it's going to go to a dollar. And if it goes to a dollar, the market cap's going to be more than like 10 times the United States. But that's fine. So I went to a Bitcoin ATM and got Bitcoin from there. My mom was like super sketched out because it was in this weird gasoline station or whatever.
Is there anything weirder than a Bitcoin ATM though? For real, like
I know, right? It's strange. Really,
Come buy some internet tokens from the gas station.
I got into crypto at a gas station, pretty much.
That's amazing.
Did Hoge ever go to a dollar?
Oh no, I lost like 80%.
So did you play on Binance Smart Chain with any of that or
No, I didn't start doing anything PancakeSwap until probably about May.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I wasn't really into crypto coins. So
did you have any fun on PancakeSwap?
No, not really, because they all lost. The only thing that did go well was Shiba. I bought Shiba Inu really low, and that made up for about half of my losses from the shit coins. But it's fun just trying to get – I know they're all pump and dump, but it's just a little – it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. I do admit it's fun. And if I was 14 years old while this market was going on, I would treat it like a video game and I would have the best time ever.
In my mind just gamifies it. That's how I do all the trades. I don't have any stress. It's just like I'm 14. I lose it all. I'll be fine. It's not like my lifestyle will change. Like I have a I live in a house my parents pay for. I'm 14. So I can just no stress.
That's what I'm going to start thinking next time. I'm going to be like, right, what would Teen Executive do here? He'd be like, okay, I'm 14, it's fucking fine. I'm like, nothing's going, like, my life's not going to be over. I'm 14, I live with my parents.
Yeah,
and if it all goes to shit, I'll move back in with my parents.
Don't blame me when you're homeless.
Look, if you're looking for some alpha and you're about to make a trade, you just got to think, what would Teen Executive do? What would Adam do in this scenario?
What would Teen Executive do?
I don't think I deserve to call him Adam. I think I just have to call him Mr. Teen Executive.
Yeah, call me Teen Executive now.
The Executive, At the start, I was like, I can't get through it calling you Teen Exec. And now I'm like, I need to pay some respect. You are the Executive.
He's definitely going to be our boss one day.
No.
Yeah, like, Ledger, sweepstake on what age Teen Executive is when he becomes a billionaire.
Oh man,
I'm going with 26.
Oh, I was gonna go. Dang, really? 22. I'm gonna say I'll be a little more bearish. I'm going to say 29. Like, he's got to sneak in before he turns 30, though. That's
crazy. That'd be insane. I don't believe that, but that would be insane.
All right, chat, give us some numbers. How old when he becomes a billionaire? Chat, I need some guesses. I see 21. I see 17.
We need the reminder to come back in 15 minutes.
The reminder. 18, 21, 30, 16. Oh, my God. I just see many numbers now.
All right, so... like you're into investing. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But you know you're teen executive. It's not. I assume it's not just about investing. Like you're interested in business. You're talking about. Wanting to manage properties. What has you interested in business? What kind of business are you interested in either doing someday in the future or maybe the stuff you're into now?
Well, I've always just been into making money, and businesses are a good way to do that, and. Let's see. Oh, I'm a very creative person. So I love using my creativity and combining that with my drive to make money and then using that to make a business, which is really fun. It's just something fun for me to do. I like them.
What was your first way to like hustle your friends or something like outside of investing?
Second grade, I didn't make any money, but in second grade, I made a bacon company with my friend.
Baking. All right. Yeah, bacon would have been niche.
I know, right? Yeah, bacon company. Baking, and then we tried to sell cookies. It didn't go anywhere, but I made a website. I used like one of the website makers and then made a website for it. No sales, but that was my first attempt at a business.
That was your first failed business, man. You gotta knock those out. It's just like getting liquidated, but it doesn't.
Ledger, what was yours?
Oh gosh, the first thing that I ran myself, I don't know.
Yeah,
I really can't.
I created a Yu-Gi-Oh trading card website called timetoduel.com, and it was like a forum and like trading website where you could took a cut of the fees of the trades that were made. And I don't know if that was first. I also did like a web design company where I build people websites, which was just named after myself with web design on the end. Those are my two failed companies.
Yeah, I definitely did a lot of freelance website stuff. One of the first like ideas I thought that was going to make me rich was I called it Text Me Stats. So I wanted, it was like early days, really before there were fantasy football apps on a smartphone. Like I wanted to text people fantasy football stats. So like if Odell Beckham scores a touchdown, it sends you a text message to like let you know that you've scored 6 fantasy points or whatever.
Just throwing out future guest names on their ledger. So in case Odell Beckham might be coming on the show, maybe perhaps I'm going to use him as an example. So is it all about money? Is it all about being the teen exec, or do you have other teen related hobbies? Like when I was your age, I liked Beyblades, and
those were out when you were a kid.
I don't know. How I'm just saying, those, saying stuff.
How long?
I think yeah.
Been,
we
like,
yeah.
My
I remember
kids are getting into Beyblades right now, which I didn't.
Yeah,
know
they were something. They were definitely out when I was a kid. I did a lot of sport when I was younger. But is there like, are you, do you like? Is it just business?
Oh, definitely not. No, that's just a portion of my life. I love playing tennis. That's really fun.
You gotta get these country club sports. Tennis and golf, man. You gotta be able to nail it.
I know. Tennis, golf, skiing. I'm good at all three.
These are executive sports. These are elite
executive sports.
Team executive. Just roll up to the country club. Be like, hey, you want to get in 9? Talk some business while we're out.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
I am bad at all those things. Well, like golf's too boring for me.
That's why I'm not that good, because I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like just like standing outside for ages. And I'm also in the UK where like there's not really golf weather. When it's hot, it's too hot, and the rest of the time it's terrible. Skiing, I enjoy, but I'm really bad. I just go really fast. I have no technique. And tennis, I wasn't good when I last played, and that was like 15 years ago. Probably when I was your age. all right, so you like you're into sports. Is there a Mrs. Teen Exec?
Ooh. No.
No, a Mr. Teen Exec, like any partner.
No,
I'm open-minded.
No. I have friends though. I'm People think I don't go outside and I don't have friends, but I do have friends, so that's good.
So what are your friends think about like your social media presence?
Most of them are like, that's cool. One of them thinks it's really cool because he's also into like side hustles and business and stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much it. They just doesn't really affect the friendship that much. The friendship was the same before and after during.
Do you have like different accounts, like one that you use that's just like for your friends goofing around, trolling each other and stuff, and then your like teen executive business stuff?
Well, for Instagram, I have my personal account and the teen executive, but I share both of them with everybody. And it's not really goofing off. And then teen executive, I just watch TikToks on that account.
Do you have any other your mates who are into TikTok and like want to be content creators? Like want to be like get a big following like you have?
Yeah, one of them wants to do the fitness niche, but whenever he posts content, it gets removed for minor safety.
Oh no.
But he's not even doing anything wrong.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
That's so dark.
Yeah, fair enough. And then do your friends come to you being like, bro, I need to make like $100 by next weekend. Like, you got any penny stocks? You like, what should I buy? What coin should I buy? What's going to get pumped?
Well, my friends, one of my friends' younger brother wants to do side hustles and he asked me to be his mentor. And I said, I'm down to help him out.
Gotta be that a business coach.
Yeah.
Wait, so how old is this kid?
He's 12.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Can I invest somehow? Like, I just need, feel like I need exposure to like what you're doing. Can I invest in you as a coach or something? Like, I just want, like, I'll just give you some money after the show. We'll figure out the details later. Yeah. Can you just trade for me or something?
You just want to see fun your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, you went through all these shit coins and ended up. Did you like centralize on like going, okay, Bitcoin, Ethereum, like these big caps have the value, or how did it progress from getting rugged on PancakeSwap a bunch of times to ending up making your like god tier buy and sell calls at the bottom and the top?
Well, what I did is I started researching the differences between the way stocks work and the way crypto works, and then I got I understand like how blockchain works, of course, but you know, there's a very technical side to it that I still don't fully understand. But with stocks, I pretty much understand it. I'm just trying to get a full understanding of both is what I did, and then see the differences and then see how their price movements are different and how I can, cause I already knew technical analysis on stocks, but I didn't know how to apply it to cryptocurrency. So I did research on that. That's how I learned about that for crypto. And then I just went to what people were talking about. I looked at, so if someone said XRP, Cardano, Bitcoin, Ethereum, I just look at what those are and see if any of them resonated with me and if I think they had fundamentals for the future.
So which ones stood out to you when you were doing your research? Like what lured you in and got you excited from a fundamentals perspective?
Ethereum.
And why is that?
And Ethereum 2.0. because of the ability to like build cryptocurrencies on that, and the idea that Ethereum's not just a cryptocurrency, it's a tool to the blockchain, which was really interesting to me. Because Bitcoin's pretty simple in the fact that it's just a stored value, and of course I'm going to invest in it because it's what it's like the biggest one. It's the name brand cryptocurrency, but I think there's definitely some other ones that have potential to beat it in the future.
Are you by chance staking your Ethereum?
No, I'm not.
I'll hit you up after the show with a great staking service you can use. So your bull ETH, we like that on this show. We're a secret ETH maxi show. We appreciate that. And how do you feel over like the coming? Like, how do you feel about the 4-year boom and bust cycle, basically? So over the coming years, how do you see the price playing out? Or do you not care? You're like, you know, this is a long-term thing for me.
I care only for the reason that I'm super impatient and I don't trust myself to hold. But I don't care what it does. I think it's going to do well in the future. So what I'm going to do is if it crashes, I'm going to have just enough in to where if I lose it all, it'll be okay. I'm not going to be devastated. I'll be upset, but I'll just let that ride and I'll just hold it in. And 5 years, I'll check up again, see how it is.
Kobe's
but right now I have
every adult I talk to about finance.
And did you like I got? Did you learn this stuff like by like self-starter, just going online and like locking it up and like?
Yep. Oh,
so your parents are like totally out of the game. They're not into
they
crypto.
Have no idea. My dad thinks it's a Ponzi scheme. I actually had to do a loophole. He wouldn't let me buy any cryptocurrency, so I had to accept cryptocurrency in the form of promotions and then sell part of it and just invest the rest. So I've never actually bought cryptocurrency other than
straight free rolling.
That's amazing. Yeah. Your cost basis is zero. You can't lose.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why you end up with a Bitcoin ATM.
Yeah. That's the one time I've bought Bitcoin is from the ATM.
That's awesome. So that is, you mentioned you're into TA. So like when did you start charting stuff and what do you look at when you're looking at a stock or a crypto?
I started probably about 2 years ago. I started getting into learning it. I didn't fully understand. I still don't fully understand it because I'm always learning every day, learning more. But I started using it about a year ago and cryptocurrency about 6 months ago for technical analysis. And I look at everything together, all a big picture, because there's a bunch of different tools in technical analysis that you use to come up with a conclusion. And like everything from charts to indicators, volume, all of that. And I look at that together to come up with a decision. And a lot of the time with technical analysis, it will tell you that it's inconclusive and that you'll have to wait. And anyone that tells you otherwise is just BSing you, they're scamming you.
So what are the charts telling you right now?
Inconclusive.
Yeah.
He's a smart man, Ledger. He's not going to fall for this bait. He's a smart man.
Because right now, it was bouncing between support and resistance. And then the funny thing is, the way you can tell it's inconclusive is because people, I'll say it's a falling wedge or something, and then people will say it's a bear pennant. People can just look at it different ways, the shape of the chart, just by zooming out. It looks a completely different shape. So it doesn't matter what shape it is. It's just a bunch of different shapes.
It's paradoxical. It's pareidolic, like the man in the moon. You just see what you want to see. I mean, it is pretty incredible. You mentioned you learned TA for stocks. Did you use like a combination of like, I'll take a fundamental analysis, like, you know, Amazon is going to outperform for these reasons, blah, blah, blah. They have, you know, this like these growth like mechanisms or whatever, and then use technical analysis to find an entry into the stock?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did. And I mostly used, for fundamental analysis, that would tell me, it'd tell me if I was going to invest in the stock, and then technical analysis would tell me when I should invest in the stock.
What a king.
There you go. He's styling on this. Like, I genuinely think that the reason so many people in crypto turn out to be, like, super young, like Romano super young, Path is super young, Sats Dart is super young. Like, I genuinely think it's because if you're interested in this space, you're interested in charts, you're interested in trading, when you're young, you treat it like a video game and you just absorb everything and you get so much better than, like, people that want to do this as a profession. But, yeah, there we go. I mean, I'm going to sign up to your paid group. I'll buy your trading course.
Don't do a paid group.
No, don't do a paid group. Don't do a paid group.
Don't do a paid group. Don't do a paid group. And no upside on your own. You just know you can't hack it. That's when you can do the paid group. But you won't need to do that. You won't need to worry about that.
And don't launch your own token either. Yeah. There we go.
Launching any token of any sorts. I tried the paid group. It didn't work out. People were just like, and I charged like $5 a month for it. It wasn't for the money. It was just to help people out. And then people got super pissed off.
even though it's $5.
Yeah.
Wait, the, all right, this the is members
a good
or
this
others?
Is a good business
the list. Members and the people that wouldn't buy. They're like, dude, why are you charging me if you're making money?
All right, this is a good lesson. Good lesson. One, anytime you do charge for anything, you're going to use some of your social equity that you have, right? Because they're like, oh, you're yeah. cashing in on all this goodwill that you put out there making content or whatever. Number two is whatever price you set is going to dictate essentially the type of customer you get. So when you only charge $5, you're going to get the worst, most price conscious customers. Whereas if you say charge $500 a month for something, it could be the same product, but you're going to get people that are less price sensitive and they'll actually be easier to deal with overall from a customer service perspective.
Teen exec, I got some advice for you. Ignore all Ledger's advice. Like if Ledger's advice was worth you listening to, he wouldn't be on this call right now. He wouldn't be on this call right now, dude. Ignore right. both of us. You're killing it. We suck. Like that's the way to go.
Wow, that's good advice. Maybe not $500 a month, but I understand your point.
Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe doing some sort of guide to teen entrepreneurship, not a paid group, but maybe just like a class, a one-time class, and if people would like to do more.
There's another benefit there is that if you do something one time, you only have to fulfill it one time. Versus if you do it perpetually, like if it's monthly or something, then like cutting it off, saying you don't want to do this anymore because you're a teenager and like you just want to enjoy your summer. Like it's harder to put on pause.
Yeah, that's why I stopped the paid group. It took too much time.
What about this? Look, I run this like this thing on the side, like this podcast thing, and my host is he's not as good as you. Like he's good. He's a decent guy, but he's not as intelligent and talented and clearly in tune with the markets as you are. So I was thinking of like firing him soon. And if you're available, like he's turned his video off. maybe Ledger, maybe we should just like give him the podcast. Like, look, dude, you can take it. We'll fuck off. We'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, up like, only's mine now.
Teen Exec and Loom Dart can take over.
Yeah, I'm taking over.
So how did you go from being super interested in investing and trading and business into TikTok and being a content creator? Like how did you make that transition? And how did you, when you did make that transition, begin getting attention?
All right, so that's a good question. So people always
my job.
Are trying to set myself up in the future financially, but I don't deserve any of that praise because the only reason I'm doing, I'm 14. That's not motivates me. What motivates me is just making money's fun. It's just fun for me. So I just follow the money, to be honest. And I was running this business called Pydex. Have you heard of a tech deck? They're like finger skateboard with the
eating. Yeah.
So I made wooden handmade versions of these. And people are always like, oh, it's a toy. You're just selling toys. But I sold them for $150 each.
See?
And it was doing well. The business was great. Let me see. But I want to show you the big problem. Let's see if you can see it from my phone. This was my room. My room was a
there you go.
Let's see.
There you go, right there. It's gigantic.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
It was like a factory. There was 5 3D printers. There was like a woodworking station. And in my room, I could barely breathe in my room because of all the wood particles.
The CO2.
Yeah. Dude, those, I had to get a, what's it called? A carbon dioxide scrubber.
Yeah. You could have killed yourself in that bedroom.
Yeah. And the carbon monoxide alarm's still there. It was something else. So I sold the business.
Laser cutters and stuff.
Yeah,
I had the laser cutters,
3D printers, the all of that. And all in this little room.
So wait, you built a business and then you sold the business.
Sold the business. I sold it for way less than it was worth. Yeah, only because I wanted to pursue something else and I wanted to get all the stuff out of the room ASAP.
Because so I could like barely sold the equipment, a website or something, or wherever you sold it. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh,
and then
gosh.
I used that and reinvested. Well, I already had money from the profits from the business, and then I added the what I sold it for, and then bought everything in this room. I slowly bought everything in this room. I started off by getting like this set up here, and then I've just been saving it all from there. And then I started the TikTok partly into while I was still running the other business. So it was taking up so much time. And then when the TikTok started to go well, that's when I sold the business.
How many followers do you have on TikTok?
I think 210,000.
Wow.
Still smaller than my Twitter, mate. Still talk. Don't worry, you'll get there. You'll get there. That is pretty amazing. How did you first start getting attention? Like, what do you think took you from like zero followers to hundreds of thousands of followers?
It was my 10th video, or I think 10 days in. I made a video called How I Made $5,000 Instead of Buying a Gucci Wallet. And basically the premise of the video was I was about to spend $500 in a Gucci wallet, but instead I took that money and bought one share of Tesla and held it for a year. And that share of Tesla went to like $4,800. So,
I mean, that is,
because
that
it split into
cool.
five, and then each share went to like,
did you sell your Tesla?
Well, I bought more.
Okay.
And then I sold at 950, and then I bought back in at 700, and then it went down. But I've just been holding that 700.
Yeah.
Man, what was I doing at 14? I just like I've just sat through this whole thing, been like, I've really not applied myself in life, and now I'm wondering what I'm even doing now. Like, I'm 31, drinking. Again, like doing a podcast for fun. Maybe I should be like building like finger skating decks or something. Like, what am I doing?
Follow your passions. Just follow your passions. Like you said, you're praising me for applying myself. The only reason I'm applying myself is because I enjoy making money. So,
Kobe loves making money. I can tell you that. Y'all have there's a shared passion here.
Oh man, that is incredible. And then you got into TikTok and you started getting a bunch of this attention and these followers. Like, what did you think? Was it a surprise? Did you like start TikTok knowing you were going to be a celebrity investor?
Well, the first video when it blew up, I remember I looked at it and I freaked out because it was at like 2,000 views, and then it went to 20,000 and 30,000, and I was up the whole night. I was in a state of shock, just sitting there on my couch, just looking at it, like, what is going on? So no, I did not expect any of that. I was hoping for maybe 1,000 followers, and then in a few months' time, but. People really liked it, and people really hated it, which was a good thing, because the more people that hate it, the more people are going to comment bad stuff, which builds up resistance to like people being mean, and it also helps the algorithm, so that's good.
So you're monetizing the haters.
This is what BitBoy does. We make fun of BitBoy, and then the BitBoy just gets more viewers. That's what happens. We need to have more conflict on the show, Kobe.
Building resistance to negative comments is a real thing, man. Like, I mean, you know what my Twitter's like. Like, every other comment is just so big, abusive. It is a real thing, but once you've got used to it, it's just like, that's what the internet's like. That's just what people like. And then it's fun.
Yeah. I'm going into high school next year, so I'm very thankful that not only do I have resistance to these, but I've also been practicing my comebacks. So, and I can tell if they do well because I'll ratio the person. So, I was at tennis camp the other day and someone said to me, "Your content's annoying and useless." And then he was bragging about his parents' $8 million house. And I told him, "How does it feel that you're going to be a maggot the rest of your life, feeding off your parents' wealth, and you're going to contribute nothing to this world?" And he walked away crying.
Oh my gosh. Dude, you're ready for a job at Goldman, like, as soon as you get out of school.
Oh my god. I don't know. I've got it. Where can we go from here? Oh dear. Man, you ratioed him in real life. I mean, making someone cry. Making someone cry is a little bit more than a ratio, isn't it? Oh, I mean, that's incredible. I need another drink now after that comment. So I'm gonna go pop this.
He did come at you first, you know.
Like, yeah.
Like it was a return shot. So exactly. I get it.
Like I don't ever be mean to anybody straight up. I don't care how they look, how they act, but unless they come at me, I'm not gonna physically hurt them, but they're gonna walk away crying. Wow.
That is amazing. I don't remember what going to high school was like, because most of my life, when it's like 10 years in the past, just becomes a bit of a blur, sort of like a movie I once saw that I can't really remember, and it feels like a different version of me rather than actual me in the past. It just feels like a stranger. I think it was fun.
Yeah. Do you think you want to go to college, or do you want to skip college, or what?
That's a good question. My parents would probably disown me if I didn't go to college. So I'm going to try to maybe get like a major in macroeconomics, UCLA, and then maybe get like an MBA at Harvard, hopefully, or maybe get an MBA at UCLA. The goal is UCLA.
Do you want to go to UCLA just because you like LA?
I live in LA. I love this. Love LA. And, it's cheap because my parents have been saving up for my college, and maybe I want them to have some extra money that they can say, oh, well, since you went to this college, it's still a great college, but it's UCLA, so it's not extremely expensive, and I'll be able to have some extra money that I can actually have fun with. Well, not me, my parents, because
what you need to do is the money that they saved that doesn't end up being needed for your college, just tell them to hold on to it until they can invest in your first business that's like venture backed. Then they can just be angel investors.
That's smart.
Wow. I must say, dude, you have won over the chat. Our Twitch chat is by far, like, this is the most they've ever loved a guest, I think. I've never seen our Twitch chat wholesome before.
I'm so glad. How many people are in the chat? Or how many people are watching? 23,
there's a few thousand. Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
So, I've never seen our chat not toxic before, Ledger. This is the first time ever.
That's surprising. What's going on? People tend to hate me. So.
Yeah, well, not this crew. This crew are very happy. This crew are killing it. It's really nice to have a show where the chat's like positive. I've never experienced this before. this like makes it way more fun.
That's
so. What you said? You mentioned grad school. Is it just because you think the experience would be good, or like, do you think you'll end up working at a corporation someday for a bit? Learn the ropes, or do you want to like do your own thing from day one?
I definitely want to do my own thing, but no matter how hard I try, no matter if I'm smart or anything, I'm not saying I'm smart, but let's say, no matter what I have the potential for, there's always a chance I can fail, and if I fail, I'm always going to try again, or at least I want to always try again, but I do want something to fall back on. So if I just go to college, it's 4 years. And maybe I could get a job with 50 grand a year at like a corporation. But if I spend an extra 2 years and go for that MBA, I could always get a six-figure job if I needed to. And that could get me back on my feet, and then I'll try again towards something greater.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you do the MBA, though, you got to go to one of those elite schools, or don't do it at all, in my personal opinion.
UCLA, that's not really elite. It's a good school, but... I think it's...
Yeah, they're good. Like a top, like any of those top 20, top 25 type of MBAs would be good if that's...
Is UCLA
goal.
Like one of the ones you're talking about? Because I haven't done much research into colleges.
Yeah, their MBA program's good.
I think the primary benefit of higher education, like college, university, especially America and Britain, is character building and social experience rather than anything actually based on education. I think it is a good way to have fun and make friends and figure out who you are, but I don't think that you learn anything useful particularly. Maybe the qualification is good on good to have, and I do think that it feels like a safety net, but if I could go back in time, I would spend less time at university and more time building things in the real world. However, I don't like. I do think getting a degree is relatively useful, and like people should make up their own decisions. I would definitely not get an MBA personally. I think having tried to build things, and clearly being like a smart person on your resume is much more powerful than an MBA. But I do also accept that MBA is a ticket to some six-figure jobs. Like it's just
if you want to go to like a corporation somewhere, get a job, an MBA is definitely, from an elite school, like a top 20 MBA, is going to get you access to those types of companies, you know, S&P 500 type companies. Or if you're in economics, like if you want to work on Wall Street, something can help you get exposure there. But if you want to do it yourself, like they'll teach you some things, but you have a mindset of a researcher and a learner, self-learner, so you'll learn more through like the internet than you would.
Yeah, MBA is an expensive badge. It's an expensive badge that says like, look, these people said I'm smart enough to work at your company, but like you will learn way more by doing stuff in the real world, trying to build stuff, and you know.
And
that's just the thing to fall back on, because working a job for a corporation is never going to be my goal, but it's going to be the backup plan just in case everything.
Look, dude, you're going to be a multimillionaire in your 20s if you keep this investment path going. You're not going to need anything to fall back on. Trust me.
my strategy for that was not that it was necessarily the right one, but it was to major in something that I could be. So I majored in engineering. So you can go be an engineer. It doesn't require grad school. So like, I don't necessarily think that's the way you have to go. Like, I think if you're really into economics and macro stuff and you think you'll learn about it in college, then that's a good route. And, you know, learn about the things that you'll enjoy while you're in school. If you wanted to simply major in something that you could be and kind of be within the same realm, though, like you could always get a job, for instance, if you were an accountant. If you major in accounting, you could get a job at
Big Four. Ledger. It would be Ledger's gone. Ledger's gone full dad mode. He's telling this genius investor to become an accountant. What's happened?
I'm saying that could give you your fallback plan in 4 years instead of six, is all I'm saying, is if you major in something that you could be from day one. But that said, I think if I could go back, like, I think good communication and good writing skills are actually some of the most useful things you can do. So even though it's the least beneficial for getting a job, like, communications and like English majors, people that know how to write, know how to do critical thinking, that actually carries a decent amount of value as well.
Just the thing is, like, my parents, they're the classic go to college, get the 9-to-5. My mom's literally like, if you don't get a grad degree, you're getting disowned. And I'm like, what if I get a grad degree and work at In-N-Out Burger? She's like, okay, do whatever you want, just get the graduate degree. But that's not very intuitive.
Who are some of your heroes? So the people who you look at their life and they go, wow, they really killed it. They, you know, I would love to have lived their life, or I would love to achieve the same kind of things. The same kind of successes that they achieved.
Oh, Jeff Bezos. He started very
going
low
big.
On
going
the food
big.
Chain, and
just Bezos, the richest man ever. Sure.
Yeah, he's one of them. He started very low and really started a business, did the investing, and he worked hard and got there. Let's see who else. Warren Buffett. I really respect the fact that he still lives his like normal lifestyle, even though he's uber rich, because he shares the same passion as me. He doesn't, well, he, for me, if I became rich, I'd like buy nice things, but him, he doesn't. He likes making money, though. The reason why he does it is because he enjoys making money. It's his passion. And same with me. He doesn't make money to buy things. He makes money because it's fun. And then let's see.
It's a pretty good start.
Yeah, that's what I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm going to shill this guy, because not only because he came on our show, but mine, I think, is Mark Cuban. And I didn't know anything about Mark Cuban before I came on the show. And notoriously, we do zero research before our shows in order to make the show feel natural, and also so that we don't have to do any work. But we, like, after the show, I did a bunch of research on Cuban, because I liked some of the things he said, and I realized that he lived such a baller life. Like, he just went, like, built a company, sold it, built another company, sold it at the top of the tech bubble, and then decided to buy a sports team. And, like, I can't think of anything more fun than owning a sports team where you get to go to a game or, like, every week or whatever and have a great time with a bunch of your friends and really be invested in whether your team wins or not. And then just, like, have fun for, like, 20 years. Oh, yeah, and then he was on television when he'd been, like, a celebrity investor. So I think Cuban killed it. I think he had a fun life. He got his priorities right.
Yeah, like, when I was, I have a very vague, distant memory. When I was, like, six, I said to my dad one day, I was like, I want to be in the NBA. He's like, yes, you should own the team. So it's that type of encouragement and that type of mindset from my parents that they've instilled in me that's really helped me out.
Yeah,
that is super cool. And I love what you said earlier about your parents encouraging investing and not encouraging spending and stuff as well. I think that's great parenting. So shout out to mom and dad exec.
Do you think you would do another e-commerce business? Did you like doing that before? And
like drop shipping or like my finger?
Like a physical product or drop shipping, something like that as a side hustle later in life. Or do you stick to the content?
Yeah, I was thinking of it. That could be something, but maybe I want to go one step because with my fingerboarding, I didn't have an LLC for it. It was unofficial. I still paid taxes, like income tax, but it wasn't an official business. No insurance, none of that. But for the next one, I would want to maybe make an actual product, have it, get like a professional to help design it, then reach out to an OEM in maybe China or something, get it mass produced, and really go about it the right way.
Then you use your content channels to shill it.
Yeah, that could work, yeah.
All right, I want to invest in that one too, yeah. Like, just like, yeah. It's kind of dystopian. There's like a dystopian future, which maybe is hinted at by things like Lambda School, where they like take a bond or something on your future. But there's a dystopian future that I can imagine where you can invest in people, like you see someone's going to kill it, and then you take a percentage of all their future earnings forever.
Just
and
if that, we were.
Yeah. If we were in that reality now, I would be like going all in. I'd be trying to buy as much Teen Executive equity as possible.
Thank you so much.
I think you got it figured out, mate, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you do. I got a last question. Have you ever been recognized in real life as like, whoa, you're the TikTok investor?
Every day, multiple times. Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Seattle last week. I got recognized 8 times in 5 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were all fans. Well, one of them was like, I've seen you on my For You page, but the rest of them were all just fans. They were like, can I take a picture with me? It was with my whenever I'm with my friends, whether I'm at the beach, get recognized, or I'll be in a grocery store, get recognized. And it's really cool, except for when I meet a hater. And that's a little awkward.
And then you have
but
to
then you just
them.
Demolish them.
Yeah. So the first one caught me by surprise. It was the first person that's ever recognized me.
So was this? Was this another teenager or was this like an adult?
Teenager. Okay. So I was on my bike and this guy was walking. No, he was on his bike and I was walking. And he biked past me and he said, "Teen Executive Dip," and then Dip. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse here. Am I?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he said, "Teen Executive Dip shit." And then he kept on biking.
So you kicked him off his bike, right?
He's just jealous.
No. I was a little bit shocked. I was a little bit shocked, to be honest. And then the second hater, which was trying to go off of me, he was a big, tall, fat dude, probably like 6'2". He was trying to bully me because I'm short and people think I'm an easy target just because I do stocks and all that. They don't realize that no one messes with me. I don't get No one gets past the first time.
Are you well trained in some kind of martial art?
No, but I'm very good at mentally making them like someone was about to punch me, and they're like, "You realize that you're twice my size, so if you tried to punch me, you'd probably beat me up, but that'd be the easy way out. So that's basically a wimpy move from you," or something. I said something along the lines of that to make it seem like punching me would be the wimpy move, and then he like backed off and he's like, "I'm no wimp," and then
he's just Jedi like, mind tricked
okay,
him
okay.
And you're like, and cried just like the other one. Amazing.
I think you just got to stare into their soul and smile. Just and they're like, yeah, come on, hit me. Oh, God. That's incredible. Yeah, well, look, what I've learned from this podcast so far is that you've got it all worked out. You're a genius investor, and no one should bully you because you're going to fuck them up. And if they do hit you, like, fuck knows what's going to happen, because I feel like you hold a vendetta and it's going to get real ugly.
Yeah.
incredible. So, as you've come through industry, starting with stocks and taking a foray into crypto, has there been anything where you just like really didn't like it? You did a bunch of learning, you think there's money to be made there, but it's just like so boring.
Sneaker reselling, it's just so incredibly boring for me to scroll and find the sneakers, verify it, keep on going. It's just very boring for me. I can't get into it. Sneaker reselling.
Is this a lot? Like, do a lot of people do this?
I have a friend. Shout out to Samuel. Probably not watching this, but I have a friend who does sneaker and surfboard reselling, and he makes good money from it. Surfboard reselling.
Like surfboards that you surf on. Reselling surfboards is like a pumping market for surfboards.
These like, it's basically like a limited drop or something that then they...
No, not for the surfboards. They're just used surfboards.
Okay, so that's just a straight, they buy used and then sell for markup. But for like sneakers and stuff, sometimes it's sneakers like a limited edition and then they flip it on eBay or something.
Yeah, he'll like be on like some special app and get some limited edition Air Force Ones. Or what he'll do is he'll buy new limited edition sneakers on eBay, and then he'll just automatically sell them on StockX. Or what he'll do is he'll get a quote on StockX and try to sell to somebody for less. But what they'll do is StockX takes 10%. So he'll sell it to them for 5% less, and he'll still end up making more than if he sent it to StockX.
Yeah. That makes sense.
He's going to watch this episode and be like, bro, you just gave away all my business.
I just exposed him.
One of the problems on those types of reseller businesses is you're limited by the quantity, essentially. Like, there's basically a peak upside for how many pairs of shoes you can flip or graphics cards or whatever. Whereas if you make your own product like you were talking about before, or if you did a software product or something, you can essentially sell unlimited amounts of them and scale your production or scale your app if it gets popular enough, and you can sell it to whatever degree you have reach to be able to do so.
Sure.
So you have more upside than like a reseller of physical stuff.
That's definitely correct. He makes good profit on each item, but the quantity is so low that he can't scale it. So I told him what he should do is he should make a course with all of his information and sell that and make it a good course and give it a good price. Like, don't scam people, but he knows so much about the craft. Just put it all into a thing and sell it to somebody. And he's like, I don't want to make a website. I'm like, okay, just keep selling your surfboards.
Yeah, you should have done it. You nailed it.
Keep selling your surfboards, dude, you fucking loser.
You definitely should have done it.
No,
somebody spent whatever Twitch clout is required to highlight a comment to say, Ledger, stop trying to teach the kid. Man, he should give you some advice. So what advice do you have for us, teen executive? How can we make it? How can we go viral? How can we do better in business and in life?
For going viral on TikTok, the first 3 seconds are the key. You got to hook them in. Like, the beginning of my first TikTok was, hi, I'm Adam, I'm 14 years old. That's boring. But then who's going to skip on, here's how I'm going to buy a house at age 15. Like, no one's going to skip on that.
They want to see
if Ledger, if Ledger does a video saying, here's how I'm going to buy a house at 15, do you think he can go viral?
You don't think they'll believe I'm 15?
All right, Ledger, we've got to make an agreement right now. Right. Can you retweet on TikTok or nah?
No stories, no retweets.
How annoying. Right, Ledger, after this, we're making a video, and it's going to be you saying how you're going to buy a house at 15, and we're going to try and make it viral on TikTok. Look, we've got an audience already who can make their own TikTok accounts because no one's got them, and like it or share it or whatever they do. But look, we're going to try and make Ledger into a TikTok superstar. Because look, clearly we need, like, I've never been recognized in real life. Have you been recognized? Oh, you've been recognized once, actually, Ledger, weren't you?
I was.
But
recently,
this guy's getting recognized 8 times when he's going to the supermarket.
So it's because I'm very memorable. I like, there's nobody else on TikTok that's like a 14-year-old screaming into the camera about investing.
There's no one else on TikTok that's like in his 30s pretending to be 15, so he's going to be memorable as well.
It's going to be fine. It's not in a good way.
Yeah, your content's going to also be removed for protection of children's safety. Oh, God.
Said, here's how I'll buy a house at age 50. There's a debate in the chat of whether I'm 15 or 50.
Yeah, people say I look 12 and 40 at the same time.
People never say anything nice about how I look. So.
Yeah, I've got kids.
How old are they?
My kids are 6 and below.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they've.
Do they have TikTok yet?
They don't have TikTok. They don't know how to use a phone yet, other than like swiping through pictures sometimes. But they do invest. They're invested 100% in crypto. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
But through you, right? You manage that.
Yeah. But eventually, before too long, they'll get into the decision making process. See, I was about your age when I started investing in stocks, so you've got a many years head start on me. But I was,
oh, mate, don't tell him that. He thinks he's got a bright
14,
future.
Investing in stocks at 14, still way ahead of the game.
Yeah. I was about 15 but that was when I was like doing the very first research bits and stuff. And the beauty of compounding and also being able to you got your liquidation out of the way when you're 12, so like you don't like zero your account for some purpose between now and when you're an adult, and it gives you a huge head start. So that has a lot of benefits. Another thing I did is essentially I took everything out that I had in savings as I was finishing college to pay for college, buy engagement ring for my wife, and like make a lot of those types of early life expenses. And if you could Ponzi those savings from when you're a teenager into your adult life, that's going to have a huge compounding effect.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. So about you saying when you're like 15 and doing stocks, that's when I see a lot of kids that are interested in it to start doing it. Because when I was in fifth grade, I taught stocks to the class, and they were looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I was trying to explain it to them, and they just, it didn't resonate. I mean, they understood how it worked, but they just didn't care. Just don't care.
Are any of your friends into other business stuff or like programming or anything like that?
Nope, just my one friend, Samuel. He does stocks a little bit. He just does like the big name tech stocks and stuff. He just puts some money in there, and then he's
like, what you gotta do when you get into high school, which you're going to soon, you gotta find the nerdiest, geekiest person you can find, like the tech superstar.
You need to be their Winklevoss.
You need to find your CTO. You've got to find your CTO. Like, look, you've got the CEO role down. You can communicate well. You understand business. You know, you can be the front man of the company. Like, you can be the next Bezos, but you've got to find your CTO. That's what you're missing. Yeah. When you find your CTO, then you're golden. And then you can tell him you're on this podcast called Up Only TV, and they've given you a blank check to invest as soon as you find your CTO. And they don't even care what the business is doing. We don't give a shit. Because
yeah,
we invest in teams.
You obviously have influence over Samuel. Say Samuel, get to
Adam's
London.
Bank Account Incorporated. That's going to be the business.
The Adam's Bank.
I tried to build a bank.
No, Adam's Bank Account.
Yeah, just the account.
I helped build a bank once. It was very difficult. All right, so we've been streaming for just over an hour, and chat is popping off, so I'm going to get some questions from chat. What do you want to ask Teen Executive? Because as you know, he's outperformed you all, and you need the help. You need the alpha. You're here to learn. That's why your thousands of you are listening. So what do you want to know?
And then also, while they're preparing these questions, Teen Exec, I want to see, do you have any questions for Kobe Because, see, you're already miles ahead of me. Like, you started way ahead of me. You're smarter than me. All those things that we've already well established. But, you know, Kobe became a degenerate later in life, but then he very quickly succeeded at the very best time at the crypto bubble, survived multiple cycles. And for a minute, I think he was even quite wealthy. Like, I don't know if he's lost a comma on his illiquid net worth recently. but he's a wealthy man. So you like making money. Kobe's made a lot of money. What questions do you have for Kobe?
All right. So are we doing questions from chat first or questions from Teen Exec for me?
Just one one question from Teen Exec to you, and then you'd be looking at the questions for chat.
All right, I got it.
What got you into making money?
I didn't grow up rich. I grew up not poor, but not rich, like that sort of working class thing where like my parents always provided for me and my brothers, but that required like all of their resources, so like they did absolutely everything for me and my brothers and sacrificed a lot for themselves for that, and I think a lot of society, especially working class society families, they often families try and take like one rung up the ladder so that their kids can take the next rung up the ladder. And I recognized what my mom and my dad had done for me and wanted to, you know, be able to do that, be able to give back to them, but also be able to do that for my future children. And I imagine people in chat thinking, oh my God, imagine what Kobe's kids would be like. That would be an absolute fucking nightmare. Ledger's kids are very lovely. They're exactly what you would expect. They're they've got the same accent as him. They're very cute. My kids would be an absolute disaster. But, so I think it was because of that. And, like, you know, like, not having money means there's loads of things that you can't do. And I went to a university that is primarily populated by people who are upper class or have a ton of privilege. Their parents are all wealthy and they just send their kids to this university, you know. Loads of posh kids, and I was not a posh kid, and they all had way more money than me. They all had massive trust funds or whatever, and I didn't have that. And I was like, well, how am I going to be able to do the things that they're doing? Like, I need to sort like this out in some way. So I just decided to trade shit coins. And look how that worked out. There we go.
All right. Hey, question number one is, do you have thoughts on NFTs?
I think that a lot of it's based off of it's all based off of psychology, because of course you can just get a photo of it or whatever, but the reason why people want it, the reason why it has value, is because you think it has value. So that is very powerful, but it's also very volatile because there's nothing physically backing it. So I'd be careful. I haven't been into NFTs yet, but if I'm going to, I'm going to be careful.
Look, I'll send you some NFTs and we'll ask you the same question in a few weeks and you'll have a totally different answer, I promise. I think my NFTs are really bullish, but everyone else's, I agree with you.
We need to get Teen Exec shilling me bits on TikTok. That's what we need.
Have you not sold that yet, mate?
No.
You still... Oh, my God. All right, fair. Whatever. We won't get into that now. So, Teen Exec, we've got a few applications in the chat to be your CTO. Spyros, I know Spyros. I did a startup with him, tech education startup. He's very good. He said, like, he wants in. So if you want a CTO at any time, let me know. I'll hook you with Spyros. Luke, who helps out with Up Only TV, says, do you need an assistant?
We're in trouble.
Maybe in the future. Maybe I was looking for one, possibly.
That's a solid maybe, Lou. You got a job for that, mate.
Here's a good one, Kobe. What's your first car going to be? Are you gonna buy a car?
I'm getting so trolled for this because people are like, oh, you got to save, invest the money. But I work hard and I want to get something. Okay. Tesla Model 3.
Isn't that everyone's answer now? Ask anyone that question, they say that, especially if they're in tech or crypto.
I don't know. I feel like a teenager with a Tesla in high school is pretty ridiculous. Like that's a serious high school flex.
Just get a Jaguar F-Type. It's not like look at me, but if you get one of the like upper range ones, it's like still pretty cool and it's fun. So just get a Jaguar F-Type. Fuck Tesla. Fuck Elon. Like don't bother with that. Go British. Get a Jag.
Yeah. Maybe.
Trust me.
That was a no.
I'm getting my Tesla. Did you not hear my answer? I'm getting a Tesla, dude. Fuck off. Crypto Jimeth says, what was your biggest loss? What's your biggest loss ever?
I think I'm going to say the $3,000 from Robinhood that may or may not have happened.
Like you don't have to be shy about that, dude. That's their problem. They let a kid trade options.
Yeah,
like, that's their issue.
Look, I'm messaging Bully Esquire as soon as I get off of this. Be like, Bully, this kid have a case. Come on, let's go.
At worst, you get your money back. Like Ledger will want 10% because he's broke. But Ola to be says, oh wait, that's not all. Galwayne says, are you playing any games? Playing any video games?
Nah, I don't.
No
but
time for gaming.
Before Teen Executive, I had Pydex, which was the business. But before Pydex, I had something called Adam XD Gamer, and I streamed Fortnite Mobile.
Yeah, but you were streaming
Fortnite Mobile.
No, I wasn't streaming for money. I was streaming because I was addicted to Fortnite.
I've streamed League of Legends a couple of times, and it's for the same reason. It's like, if I'm streaming, it feels like I'm doing something different than just playing League of Legends by myself. Exactly. But I'm just playing League of Legends by myself with a justification.
Yep.
Oh, here's one.
Fine.
How do you handle gold diggers? Or any of the girls in your neighborhood? Do they want you for your money?
Well, I don't spend money on anybody except for maybe my friends once in a while. I'll like treat them to sushi or something. But I don't buy anybody nothing. Like, and girls don't really like me, so if there's this girl that's out of my league that likes me, I'm almost certain she's a gold digger. So, yeah.
Don't worry, dude. They will.
Yeah, I'll come around. It'll all change. Don't worry. My dog is Phoebe, says, how do you do in school? How does he do in school? Is he not asked? Or does he kill it because he is mature and realizes how easy it is? How do you do in school, basically?
Well, I was gonna do pre-calc for ninth grade, but I decided to go a little easier and do trigonometry instead. I do pretty good. So, like, instead of, oh, yeah. I don't know. School's just easy for me. I hate it, but it's easy. So, like, pre-calc is 12th grade math, and then trig is 11th grade math. So, I'm 2 years ahead in math. And then science, I'm doing chem. So I'm 1 year ahead, or like maybe one and a half, like 1 year plus honors, and then everything else I'm just honors.
Have you started taking your SATs and stuff yet?
Yeah, I took a practice SAT and got like
you don't have to say 1350. That's good. All right.
Yeah.
Colleges,
oh, sorry.
Colleges don't care about very much, but they will totally look at your scores. But the gamification is you can take it as many times as you want until you feel like you've gotten a score good enough to accomplish your goals. Get in.
I took it like 3 years ago, so it doesn't really matter towards college. It was like when I was like,
yeah, no, and it won't. You'll just report your highest score. So like, if you don't feel good enough about what you got, like you want to get a little higher to get a scholarship, pay for more of the school, or like get into a certain school, just keep taking it.
I'm really new to the test taking world. So since you're an adult, I was just wondering, like, is there like a privacy thing to it? Since like you didn't want me to like say it, I didn't know.
I don't know. Some people are very private about those types of things, but no, there's not a privacy issue with it.
Okay. Yeah.
How does it work in America? Cause you're saying you're doing these grades and the grades are above, but like, are you still with your same class and you take different classes?
No, so if I would have gone into pre-calc, I would have been in a classroom full of seniors.
All right. Just for that unit, and then you go to, like, for a different topic, get back to your class? That's way better than Britain, because in Britain, I was put in this, like, weird bracket of, like, people that were high-performing, and they just moved me out of my year group into a different year group, so I, like, skipped a year of school, and I was just in all my classes with people that were older than me. And it was very not good. It was very not good. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Five of my classes, I'm with ninth graders. With one of my class, I'm with 11th graders. And with another one of my class, I'm with 10th graders.
What grade are you?
Yeah. I'm ninth.
All right, that makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. All right, more questions from chat. Someone says, do you listen to music at all? Who are your favorite artist? Does music matter to you?
I like music. I'm not going to say what I like because that's very embarrassing.
Wait, you gotta tell us. You gotta tell us now. It's embarrassing.
Do you like KSI? KSI's been on the show before. He likes crypto.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, what's it called? I don't know much about him. I've seen some of his memes on TikTok. He's pretty entertaining, but I don't know much about him.
All right, we're not going to know the artists anyway, I don't think. I've got a feeling we're not going to
Okay, I'll tell you one of the artists I like.
I won't know any of them, so say whatever you want.
Duke Ellington.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know, he's a jazz
musician from the 40s.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds cool. Jazz music.
This fits right in with your country club vibe, you know? A little tennis, a little golf, a little jazz music while you're having a cigar in the country club with your lunch. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
All right, I've lost the chat. I need to find some more questions. Holy shit, I've missed so much. Everyone's saying based.
Yeah, everybody likes the jazz.
And now everyone's surprised we don't know who Duke Ellington is. I've never heard of Duke Ellington, but after this, I will listen to Duke Ellington because I am thinking, what will Teen Executive do? That's the way I'm going to live my life going forward as a member of the Church of Teen Exec.
The Church of Teen Executive.
Ramen. Yeah, it's ramen like, in the maybe chat it's like says a cult. You need to start a hedge fund, and I agree. Like if you're gonna do something in finance on your own, like being a hedge fund has to be one of the better ones, right? Because you just charge 2 and 20 on everything. It doesn't matter whether you succeed or fail, as long as you can keep getting new people to invest in it. Like that's the better version of the paid group is just to do a hedge fund.
I don't think that's how hedge funds work, is it? If you keep failing and you just need people to invest, is that how it works?
It depends on how you do it. Like if you just go all in on a sector that continue, like if you have a niche sector, you know, like you're like, this is a
wait, did you just say, niche as niche?
Yeah. People say niche,
I think
someone people say niche. People say niche?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It's an American thing.
I say niche, but
look,
Kobe, yeah, because that's how you say it,
Kobe. When you do your southern accent, you're gonna have to practice some of these words, and that's one.
Teen exec, can you do a British accent?
Oh, mine's very. It can't
be worse than mine. Kobe made me exit the show with a British accent last week, and
what accent should he do to exit this show? Teen exec, you get to pick his accent.
No, please, no.
Let's see. Vietnamese.
That's gonna end up being super racist. No way.
Okay, fine. Do a Canadian accent.
A Canadian accent. All right, I'll get
it. Yeah, all right, we got it saved. If we ask you to do an Australian accent, you can do it amazingly because you just do your British one and it'll sound perfect.
I'll manage to screw it up.
All right. So obviously you learned very quickly and you've spent a bunch of your life like taking a topic you're interested in, learning tons more about it, and like basically absorbing everything, sort of becoming an expert on it. Can you tell us what are the things you're interested in now? What are you trying to learn about? What is the future that Ledger and I might not know about? What's the next thing after cryptocurrency that we should be investing in?
I'm just investing for the long term. And what I'm doing is opportunities always come up really quickly. And it's for everybody. There's a saying that's like everyone has a $1 million idea at some point in their life. But for me, whenever an opportunity comes, no matter how small, no matter how obscure it may seem, I always take a second and I have a note in my notes app on my phone, I always write down what the opportunities are. If I have them, I'll look back at them later in the day and I'll just think about it, think about how it work, the logistics, and then I just go from there. So right now I have no idea what I'll be doing in a year, but I know I will be doing something.
That's pretty smart. So you're basically describing a process by which you think critically about potential business ideas, how they could work, how they could fail, which is, I think, a very good critical thinking exercise to continually flex those muscles and apply different scenarios to real life. Do you ever do sort of case studies on specific existing either successful or failing businesses to think about what would you have done in their position? Like Airbnb at the start of the pandemic had a very interesting problem. You know, there are obviously a bit very famous examples of companies getting it wrong, like Blockbuster, who ignored digital until it was too late and didn't buy Netflix or whatever. So do you ever think about practical scenarios in existing businesses, or is this all just like hypothetical?
Oh, I haven't done that, but that's a really good idea. I should probably start doing that. That's really smart.
Free alpha for you. That's what I do with my spare time when I feel bored but feel like I need to do something that's not League of Legends. Which honestly, these days is like decreasing in time because I just go straight to League of Legends without any sort of quality control or whatever.
Are you a big reader?
That's one thing. People think just because I'm into like stocks and stuff, I like reading. I haven't read a book for fun in like 5 years. I've read money making books just for like helping me make money, I guess. But as for like a fiction book or something that's just pure for like the story, no, none of that.
Ledger, some people just have a level of personal conviction in their mission that there's no time to waste with bad sci-fi.
I'm just impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents resent that about me, that I just don't read books recreationally.
I do think that reading books recreationally gives you access to the lateral thinking of others, and there's a lot of creativity in there that is useful to absorb yourself, and therefore it is a value add or like a plus EV activity to do if and only if the authors themselves are intelligent and it's worth like absorbing part of their mind. Because if you read a book, right, basically someone's like beaming their thoughts into your brain through your eyes, and it is the best version of their thoughts that they've gone over many times. So if you have a incredibly intelligent author or someone that had worldviews that were like over time like proven to be exceptional or whatever, then you basically get to absorb part of their personality or their soul into your own through this medium of literature, which is quite beautiful and quite fun and also additionally positive to your personality. So if there's one thing, I'm not going to give you any advice. Ledger loves giving you advice. I'm not going to give you any because I think that like at your age, I was
open
a moron.
To advice and opinions. That,
yeah, but this is one where I'd be like, reading fiction is fun.
I completely agree with you when you said that like it's very beneficial. I just can't do it. It's just painful for me to read for fun. For school, I'll read it, no problem. If it'll teach me something, like it's a knowledge book, I'll read it sometimes, but I just can't bring myself to read a fiction book. I tried.
You should read. All right, I'll send you a book. Hit me up with your address after this, not now, because there's loads of people watching and they'll send you weird shit. You don't want any of that. But if you hit me up after it, I'll send you 3 books. Read them. I'll give you $1,000 for a book review of each, or $10,000 or whatever. I need to know your general income level so that it's worth it for you. And you send me a book review of what you learned from the book, and then I think that you'll have your mind changed about reading.
Okay, I'm so down.
There we go. Can we publish these the book reviews online?
The chat's
sure, yeah,
so
go
fast.
For it.
Like $10,000.
I think it's worth it because we're going to get book reviews of some absolute classics from Teen Executive online. And I just think that, like, not only is this great for Teen Executive, gets paid to read some books, but it's great for our audience.
Might have to come on
read.
The podcast again to recite it to you guys.
There we go. There we go. And we've got him back. There you go, Ledger. This is how you do real business. This is beneficial to everybody.
I think Kobe just somehow turned that into a business expense.
Yep, write it off.
Blockfolio, can I please borrow?
We're going to need another $10,000. Thank you, sir.
Look, Sam just raised $1 billion. We just need some for some book reviews. It's fine. We're starting a book club. It's like everyone cares about it. It's good. All right, so we've been streaming for an hour and a half. Ledger, have you got much things left to cover?
Nope.
All right. Chat, do you have any things left to cover? Chat wants to know $3. I'll post $3 on Twitter.
That was so fun. That did not feel like 90 minutes.
There you go. Time flies when you're having fun. All right, so at the end of all our episodes, we used to ask our guests, and we kind of forgot for a few episodes, and we stopped doing it, but we'll bring it back for you because you are the teen executive, and like they need to know. We need to ask this question. So we ask all our guests for a piece of alpha, like a learning that maybe your parents taught you, maybe it was passed down through your family line, maybe you read it in the non-fiction books that you like to read. We know it wasn't in a fiction book. Maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was, you know, just someone important in your life. Maybe you saw it in a movie, some piece of wisdom, a mantra, some teaching, some learning that you often find yourself thinking about and applying in practical real life scenarios. And the purpose of sharing this is to make our viewers happier with their lives, more fulfilled, richer, healthier, smarter, just something they can use to improve themselves in a positive way.
All right. Everyone that says something negative about you, unless it's someone critiquing you, giving you like good criticism. If they're like saying something mean to you, not 99% of the time, but 100% of the time, they're either jealous or they're unhappy with something deep in their life. So don't let it get to you.
Let's go. Haters are jealous or haters are sad people. Ledger, here goes your Canadian accent. Do you want to read us out?
All right.
That's your British accent again. What the fuck? Again.
Hey, it's been a pleasure having y'all. If you could just go to uponly.tv/blockfolio.
That's your normal voice.
That's not my normal voice. Kobe, if you could just please be quiet. I'm trying to give the exit music here. If you could go to uponly.tv/blockfolio. Thank you very much for being here for this show. It's been a pleasure, eh? I'm going to go out to the garage and pick up a beer, maybe a 2x4. Hope you have a great day. Okay, bye-bye.
What? You are so bad at accents. Love you, Teen Exec. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All right, shall I log off?